wisdom response there. Maybe it isn't a good Thanksgiving. Maybe we're caught up in the things that Irv was mentioning earlier, and maybe it's not that good because our thankfulness is based on our circumstances rather than on who God is. Maybe disappointment is bigger in our psyche than being happy or joyful this morning. Maybe we're facing some sort of stress, and that's, I mean, it's part of life. And yet it can rob us of happiness, certainly, a temporary thing based on circumstances. But our joy is much deeper. And I thought as we took a little break from our identity series, thought we'd look at Philippians, some of the key themes of Philippians are joy, the gospel, being in Christ. And throughout the whole book, it's a thanksgiving for their partnership with Paul. Joy's in every chapter, 5 times throughout the book. Rejoice is in there 11 times. Gospel is outlined. It's a theme throughout every chapter of this book. And the gospel, or what gospel I mean, but it brings us back to that we are in Christ. And this is so foundational to being thankful in Christ. And then, like I said, throughout the whole letter, it's an expression of thankfulness for their partnership in the gospel, in Paul's life, and everything else. So if you consider this, we're going to look just briefly, somewhat at chapter 3, verses 12 to 16 of Philippians. Jesus has made me his own. A key phrase there. I want to read verse 12, and then we'll go back to the previous verses, and then we'll follow up to the end of 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I mean, this is easy to just read and flip over, breeze through it. But this is, just let that settle in for a minute. Christ Jesus has made me his own. Wow. I mean, what an amazing God. We were in rebellion against him. He makes a way. We can be his sons and daughters. He's made me his own, Paul writes. Previous to this, Paul writes, verse 8, indeed, I count everything as a loss, not because it's rubbish or useless or completely worthless, but he goes on, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings. We like the first two, right? We know him and the power of his resurrection, share in his sufferings. You guys can take that one. I'll take the first two. But becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Then verse 12 again, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now I'll read 13 to 16. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Lord Jesus, would you open this up? You sent your Spirit to be our teacher. Would you open this up to us? Impact us here this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to hear you clearly. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I've outlined this, the last verses we just read, verses 12 to 16, with three words: gratitude, goal, and grounded. And they all start with G, because alliteration is godly. And if I say it enough times, you'll believe me. So kicking this off, it's Thanksgiving Sunday. Gratitude, powerful in this passage, powerful throughout this book. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He's already said before this, he counts all things as loss. He's given up everything. He willingly suffers. He's so full of gratitude. Christ Jesus has made me his own. This isn't something, yesterday's news. This is amazing, and it's re-impacting Paul even as he writes. Nothing compares to this. Life now and for eternity is settled. I'm his. He is mine. And it results in gratitude when we really understand this. Paul lives in gratitude. Living in gratitude is ever present. It's a response to what God's already done for us and in us, continues to guide us and lead us and bless us. And it's a core motivation to life and living in it. It's central to all of life. So what hinders our living in gratitude, to live in gratitude? Well, ingratitude makes it the opposite. Rather than living in gratitude, separate words, we have ingratitude. We forget the magnitude of the gift we received. We go back to old ways, demanding my way, trying to find true joy and happiness in our circumstances and situation, rather than in who Christ is and what he's already done for us. Gratefulness expressed is gratitude, but it's much easier to express it with complaints often, isn't it? We're much more aware of what's gone wrong. I'm not sure if you can read those little words above the windows. One on the left is complaints, and the one above there is gratitude. He's got a book. But aren't we naturally aware of here's what's wrong, here's what's broken, here's what's disappointing, and we're aware of that. We don't compliment the 90% or more that's right. We go on, oh, there's that 10%. It's disappointing. I want to read part of Luke 7 for us. Here's someone in Scripture who really got gratitude. This is Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. Really hear what's going on in this story, hear the emotion of it, and what's unfolding. So Jesus is teaching, walking with his disciples. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, right, they sat reclining, feet behind, leaning forward, lost my place, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering him, right, he just thought that, but he answers his thoughts. Answering him said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." "A certain moneylender who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss," popular greeting at the time, "but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began saying to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Go in peace. She got gratitude because she realized the immensity of the gift, of the grace that was shown. It's magnificent. It's incomparable. It's a wonderful gift that we sing about. And yet in everyday life, we can somehow lose track of it and step into the complaint line rather than the thankful gratitude line. Gratitude is a key part. And it doesn't come primarily as of us working hard at gratitude. Yes, we can be aware of it. We can learn to count our blessings, focus more on what is right than what is wrong. Yes, we can discipline. But it comes from a deep and personal encounter with the risen God. And realizing the magnitude of what He's done for us. Well, there is gratitude, but there's also a goal in this passage that's key. What distracts from pursuing the goal? I want to read 13 and 14. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There's lots of things that distract us in our life. At the pastors and spouses retreat, one man was sharing, and he was sharing about his friend in the UK. He's training to be an ambulance personnel. And he said the medical part of it was coming excellently. But the driving course, he's driving through there with his ambulance. I'm thinking, well, it's in the UK. You're on the wrong side of the vehicle. But no, it's not the wrong side. It's just different. But he's doing the ambulance course, and he keeps hitting the mannequin. So that's not great, right? It's a pedestrian. It's a whatever. You can't hit people on the way to your call. And he's really getting discouraged because he's done this multiple times now. So the guy starts asking him questions. Well, you know, what are you thinking about as you're going into this? And he's going, I can't stop thinking. I've got to miss the mannequin this time. I've got to miss the mannequin this time. But what's he focused on? He's focused on the mannequin. And he keeps hitting it. He says that you got to shift your perspective and you got to focus on the part of the road that's still the course that's open to you. And he actually did pass his exam. You know, it's the same even in sports, right? Soccer, you start training young kids with soccer. They come down, breakaway goal, just bam. And what do? Oof, right to the goalie, right? They're focused on the goalie in early years of soccer. And you have to teach them. You buy a net with goals up in the corner, and you teach them to hit it into all the open space there. The goalies only, especially at young ages, they're only covering a little tiny portion of it. But we keep putting it right to there. We can just get in the habit. Here's what we're trying to miss. But we focused on the goal. Really focused on the goal. We slip into some other thing that's just a distraction. My comfort right now. Our wealth, or whatever, something is really can really rob us. Paul writes here, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead. I mean, we're already his. He's made us his own. That's incredible. And he keeps blessing us. He keeps invites us to eternal, abundant life. We get distracted with this life so easily. What are we really focused on? What's the real goal? This is tied to it. It comes out of being grounded. Yes, he's made us his own, and it flows out of how living it flows out of understanding how being rooted and grounded. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. I mean, this is a theme of Scripture, throughout Scripture, that we're rooted and grounded in Christ. Ephesians 3:17. Be rooted in Christ, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Really though, in the course of everyday living, are we really rooted and grounded? Thus, I'm going to bring it up again, but the small groups is a place to really connect. Learn how to read and apply Scripture for ourselves. Are we engaging God for ourselves? Rooted and grounded in him doesn't come just from hearing me, secondary, or anybody else preaching up here. Or through a video, yes, it can be information. But where's the transformation? The transformation is as we get to know God ourselves. We're reminded at the pastor and spouses retreat that about 70% of young people, either in their high school age or college and career, 70% drift, leave the church. Well, what are some of the things that impact the 30% that actually persevere and keep pursuing God and his body? Two really key things. One, almost 100% of them have been involved in a short-term mission trip. It's huge. Our youth want to do a short-term mission trip. We're praying that through as a mission team with our youth. What would be a great way to move out into that? What's another key factor? They actually engage, have a growing relationship with God themselves, and it's become not just a secondary one through their parents, through their teachers, through their youth leader, somebody else encountering God and them hearing about it. It's become personal to them, in other words, rooted and grounded. Proverbs 12:3, life rooted in God stands firm. Stands firm. Out of that, the response is gratitude. Because we realize the magnitude of what he's done, what he continues to do, how he's leading us. And he guides us, right? The Holy Spirit. We become more intentional. We're pursuing his goals, godly goals, not just our own small, selfish goals. And it flows out of this being rooted and grounded in him that we are full of gratitude. I found a parable online that I want to read, share with you. I adapted it some. I thought it fit us better. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to flight attendants called into a cockpit of a small passenger jet. The captain of the airliner told them that the jet would soon crash and they needed to ensure all the passengers were ready for a water landing, crash, whatever happened, but to do so in a manner that would not cause great panic. So the two flight attendants got together and talked about the best way to do this and then how to share this news. And the first spoke and said, well, we should sell this idea to the people that it's about making their flight more luxurious. The second attendant disagreed, stating that that wouldn't work in the long run and that they should just be honest but calm about the warning. They couldn't agree on this, so one started at the front of the plane, grabbed the flotation devices, took them to the front row of the plane and said, hey, put these on. They'll really enhance your flight experience and make it way more comfortable. You'll really enjoy it. Plus, there's perks and benefits to come for wearing those. Well, the other flight attendant started at the back. I won't go to the back right now, but he's back there. And he starts handing them out and says, hey, the captain called us forward. He says, we're in a critical situation. We're going down. We can't turn it around. We're going to land out on the water. And so you need these flotation devices on. Here's a brochure how to wear it and use it properly. And when you understand this, can you share that over there? And it started from the back, and they're sharing with each other the impact of what's, or the need for these. Well, the first passenger who was told by the first attendant to put on the flotation device on because it would enhance the flight, make it more comfortable and everything else, he starts looking around and goes, hey, some people don't have these on yet. Why do I have this on? It's not actually enhancing my flight. It's uncomfortable. I don't really like this thing. So some of them took it off at the front of the plane. Whereas at the back, there's this ripple effect. They don't care how comfortable they are because they understand what's coming. And gratitude is not something we trump up on our own. But we can be grateful for the things that God brings into our lives because we know he's a good God. And he's providing them for a reason. And though it makes us uncomfortable for a time, it's a life-saving device. Something to lead us more into life. Gratitude is a response. Flows from relationship with him, being rooted and grounded in him, and being more purposeful, goal-driven in our lives. Growing in our following and assisting others is a natural thing. We can't just be, hey, thanks for that great gift. We're not really getting the magnitude of the gift if we're not also sharing it with others. That's thanks living. That's truly thanksgiving. So as we give thanks this day, and we express our gratitude out loud, what's the real source of our gratitude? Is it only in temporal things that are passing? Or is in being in Christ, the fact that he's made us his own, what's overwhelming us, leading to our gratitude and our living intentional on goal because we're rooted and grounded in Him. These are all responses from, drawing from, being in Him. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, sometimes we can put a real guilt burden on ourselves or each other. We want to be more grateful, less complaining, less whatever. I don't think the woman in Luke 7 was thinking about that. It wasn't a pressure. It's something she had to do. It was a natural response to understanding you and your love for her. Her sins forgiven, and she overflowed with gratitude. It was the result, not the road to it, but it was the destination. Resulted in gratitude. And she did it in a way that became obvious to everyone around her, and though not everyone liked it, you affirmed it, Jesus. I pray today we would be woken up. We would be self-evaluate ourselves. Are we rooted and grounded in you, or are we living out distractions, trying to find true joy in something else, and failing royally in the process at true life that you've made possible? God, we want to be your people today, followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify you, and of whose life really does we live gratitude, thanks living, and thanksgiving as a result of an intimate, growing relationship with you. Pray in your name. Amen. Let's start.